Once again, we start at 7 o'clock. Don't forget to take a look at the things downstairs for the prizes. That's what the points are for. And then remember also, if you have a question on tonight's story, a question how to find the places in the Bible, or a question how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. In last night's lesson, we found out that Esther was chosen to be the queen. When she was chosen to be the queen, they had a big feast for her, and she received all kinds of rewards and gifts. Yes, Esther now was the queen of the land. But it was a very sad situation, because you see, she was married or united to an uncircumcised Gentile. And God's word made it very clear, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the problem, of course, was this, my friends, is you see, they were not in the place where God wanted them to be. They should have been back in Israel. They should have been back building the house of God. But here she was in Shushan the palace, which was in Babylon. As I said, they were very comfortable in Babylon because they were not under the persecution as they were during the time when Nebuchadnezzar was the king. Well, Esther was there in the palace. And as the queen, she couldn't talk directly to Mordecai, or Mordecai couldn't talk directly to her. They had to do it by messengers. And so therefore we find that Mordecai, every day, he walked up and down in front of the palace. He was concerned as to what was taking place with Esther inside the palace. Well, apparently, as the time passed by, this man Mordecai, he was offered a job by the king because he sat at the gate. Sitting at the gate would have meant that he had a job of being one of the king's judges. And so there he was now, sitting at the gate, and had this job for the king. As I think about that, I think about another man in the Word of God who sat at the gate, whose name was Lot. We read about him in the book of Genesis. And that man Lot, as you read the story in the book of Genesis, you would never know that he knew God in a personal way. In fact, you see, he fell into all kinds of problems, and the Word of God tells us that his righteous soul was vexed every day. Oh, I want to say to you, my friends, if you don't follow the Lord and you walk away from His ways after you come to know Him, your righteous soul will be troubled. And we find also here that Mordecai was troubled as he walked back and forth every day in front of the palace, getting any kind of news that he could, and also as he sat there in the gate and judged. Well, it came to pass that lo and behold, one day when he was there sitting down, he overheard two men talking. And the two men, as he listened to their conversation, lo and behold, these two men, they were planning how they might kill the king. And these two men decided that they had a plan that would work, and they were going to carry it out. Well, Mordecai, when he heard this, he took that news and sent a message to Esther, and he told Esther that she needed to tell the king. And so Esther, she wrote a message also to the king that his life was being threatened, and she sent it in the name of Mordecai. Well, you can be sure that when the king got that message, he was going to check it out. And he did. And when he checked that out, those two men who were out to kill him, they were hung. Yes, on a tree. There, those men, they lost their life. Yes, because they tried to kill the king. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, when they died, they went into eternity. So it will be with you. When you die, you will either go to heaven or you will spend forever and ever in the place called hell. And these two men more than likely will spend forever in the place called hell, because I don't believe they ever came to know God in a personal way. Oh, but the big question tonight should be, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend forever and ever? After those two men were hung, that whole thing was recorded, yes, in the king's records. But there was nothing at that time done for Mordecai. No. The strange thing was this, that after that was recorded, we read about the fact that the king, he decided to honor another man. And the man that he decided to honor was a man by the name of Haman. Now this man Haman, he was from the royal line of King Agag, who was the king of the Amalekites. And if you trace his ancestry all the way back, you will find out that it goes back to the time of Esau. Some of you may know the story about Esau, that before he was born, his mother was having troubles. She was having a struggle inside of her. And when she talked to the women about it who had babies before her, it wasn't anything like what they experienced. Well, the thing was this. She was having twins. And when they were born, the one that was born first was Esau. Now, Esau and the Amalekites and this man Haman, they speak to us of the flesh. The Word of God makes that very clear, that everyone is born of the flesh. Everyone in this room has been born of the flesh. And the other twin, he speaks to us of that which is born of the Spirit. But you see, as you have the story, you will find out that the flesh always wants to come out on top. And so it was with Esau. He always wanted to be first. So it was with Haman. So it was with the Amalekites, because they speak to us of the flesh. And here we find that the king honored this man and put him in a high position. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, then what you do is you get a new life. Sometimes people will say that you get a changed life. Oh, no, you don't. You do not get a changed life when you get saved. What you do is you get a brand new life. And there will always be a struggle between the old life, which is the flesh, and the new life, which is born of the Spirit. Now, because of the fact that you get saved, there should be changes in your lifestyle, in what you do, but that old, rotten, stinking flesh of yours will be in you until the day you die or until Jesus Christ returns. And so that's why we find that verse in Corinthians where it says that the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for us and rose again. And may I say that each and every one of us, if we get saved, We need to surrender our life and live for Him. We read that verse tonight in Galatians where it says this, "This I say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would." Oh, all through your life, you're going to have a battle, if you get saved, between the flesh and the Spirit. And I trust if you do get saved, that you'll let God have control and that you'll feed the Spirit and not the flesh. Well, we find that this man was honored by the king. In fact, he was honored to the point that the king said that whenever Haman passed by, that the men and the women needed to bow down before him. Now, when that decree was made, it needed to be obeyed by the king. But are you going to obey what the king says? Or are you going to obey what God's word says? And you see, Mordecai, he knew that he could not obey the word of the king. You see, up until this time, Mordecai, he did not let anybody know that he was a Jew. He told Esther, "Don't tell that you're a Jew." You see, he was in the wrong place. He should have been back in Jerusalem, building on the house of God, but now he was there in Shushan, in the place where the palace was located, and this command came that he should bow day after day. When Haman passed by, everyone dropped to their knees and bowed before him, but not Mordecai. He refused to bow. And the men that were with him at the gate, they said to him, "Mordecai, what's your problem? Don't you understand what the word of the king was? That we need to bow before this man? What's the big deal? You need to bow." And even though they asked him day after day, he did not give the reason right away. Now you see, fellows and girls and men and women, there's lots of times, you know, you can do the right thing, but you also have to say the right thing. You see, your words and your actions need to go together. But Mordecai, he wasn't letting them know the real reason why he didn't want to bow. And so, day after day, they ask him. Now you see, you might think, "Oh, people, they know that I'm a believer in God by the way that I act." Don't be so sure about that, my friends. You see, if you never say that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, people wouldn't really know whether you are or not. You need to have your talk go along with your walk. And so finally, we find that one day, when these men ask him again, "Mordecai, why don't you bow?" that Mordecai finally decided to let his light shine. I like that verse in Psalms 36 where it says, "In him is the fountain of light, and in his light shall we see light." And then it says this in the book of Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And finally, the day came that he said, "I am not going to bow before that man because I am a Jew." Now, the main reason, of course, was because he knew God. But God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. And the reason that God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther is because God doesn't place his name everywhere. And this is not the place where the Israelites should have been. So the name is not mentioned. But now he told them why he wouldn't bow. And he let his light shine. Well, they said to him, Mordecai, do you think that that is going to stand before the king? Oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women. The Bible says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, he was in for problems, all right. Yes, but regardless of the fact, he needed to let his light shine. So every day, from then on, when the king passed by, when Haman passed by, all the people that were round about, they fell down immediately to bow before Haman. And finally, these men spoke up to Haman and said, Mordecai is not bowing because he is a Jew. Well, that made Haman absolutely furious. When he realized that he was not bowing down because he was a Jew. Oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women. When you obey God, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. No. Sometimes, you see, when you let your light shine, it's going to cause you difficulties. But that does not change God's Word. God's Word makes it very clear that we should let our light shine. Let me quote that verse once again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, it's the same thing you see with you fellows and girls here that come to the Awana. If you have ever asked the Lord to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, you should say something to your leader, because that's what God wants us to do. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And you need to let your light shine. Even though you may act good, the leaders wouldn't know whether you receive Christ unless you say so. But then the Word of God also tells us in that portion that we are not to put our lights under a bushel basket. Back in the days of the New Testament, why, the people, what they did is they traded by the bushel basket. That was the thing for the commercial world. And you know, there's many people here, perhaps tonight even some, who go to work and they don't let their light shine at work. Wherever you are, you should let your light shine before men. Oh, I trust that you do at school if you're saved. If you are at work or whatever you do in life, that people would see that your light is shining for the Lord. And then it also tells us, don't put your light under a bed. Yes, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What is that verse talking about? Jesus Christ is coming soon. We don't have long. Yes, we shouldn't be hiding our light. We should let our light shine for the Lord. So I trust tonight that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you will let your light shine. But because Mordecai finally finally let his light shine, it caused troubles. You see, that man Haman, he went to the king, and this is what he said. O king, in this land, there's a group of people who are worthless to you. And these people, they got their own laws, and they're not obeying what you want them to do. And what they need to do is be destroyed. And I am willing to give 10,000 talents of silver to have those people destroyed. As the king listened to Haman, as he talked about him, the king said to him, when should we kill him? And this man Haman, he said, I will check with my soothsayers and find out when we shall do it. And so this man Haman, he went to his soothsayers and they cast lots. It was the first month of the 12th year when he went. And when they cast the lots, like shaking of dice, they decided that the day to kill them would be on the 13th day of the 12th month of that year. So when he went back to the king said, look, Haman, you don't have to put your money into this to kill them. We got lots of money. I'll pay for it. Oh, this man Haman, what he wanted was all the money of the Jews and all of their wealth. Yes. So we find that the proclamation was sent throughout the whole land of the 127 provinces that all the Jews were going to be killed on the 13th day of the 12th month. Now when that notice went forth, the Jews, when they heard it, what they did is they put on sackcloth and ashes and began to cry and repent to show that they were crying out to God. Now prayer is not mentioned in the book of Esther because God's name is not placed there. But nevertheless, that's what they did. Oh, listen. Those people believed it, that they were going to die on the 13th day of the 12th month. That's what the king said. Do you know something, fellows and girls and men and women tonight? That the King of Kings is who the Lord Jesus Christ says that you are going to die and judgment is going to come upon you and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, the place called hell, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now the point is, these people believed it. They believed that they were going to die. My question tonight for you is, do you believe that the day is going to come and you will die and you will spend eternity someplace, either in heaven or in hell? Do you believe that? Oh, if you know that, you're a sinner, because every one of us has sinned. And the Bible says that the payment or the wages of sin is death, then you need to do something about it. You need to receive Christ who paid the price for your sin. When Mordecai heard that, what he did is he put on sackcloth and ashes as well. And he went through the streets of Shushan. And he cried with a loud and bitter voice. And then after he cried out to the people, he sat down at the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes. That was something you never did. Why, if you did something like that and sit there in that kind of clothes, you could be destroyed. You could be killed. And so we find that's what he did, though. He was fasting, and we find that he was weeping in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's maidens, the girls that waited on her, they saw him there, and they told the queen. They said to the queen,
Mordecai. He is sitting out at the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes. So when Esther heard that, she wanted to find out what was wrong. And she sent one of her servants out of the palace with clothes for Mordecai. Yes, this man came out of the king's gate with some clothes to put on Mordecai because he was sitting there in sackcloth and ashes. And when he came over to see Mordecai with the clothes that Esther had sent, Mordecai refused them. And he said to him, that man, I want you to take this proclamation to the queen and tell her what is going to happen on the 13th day of the 12th month. And you tell her that what I'm asking her to do is to go in and see the king and make a request on our behalf. Well, when Esther got that letter that on the 13th day of the 12th month that they were all going to be destroyed, she wrote another letter back to Mordecai. And she said, everybody knows. You just don't walk in to see the king. Why, if the king doesn't put forth his golden scepter so that you can touch it, you will be dead. You will die. And I haven't seen the king for 30 days. Think of it, fellas and girls and men and women. She was his wife. They were living in the same palace. But she didn't see him for 30 days. She didn't have the right to just walk in anytime she wanted to. No, it was not a great marriage. And he hadn't called for her for 30 days. And then, when Mordecai got the message that she sent back, Mordecai had another message to send to her. And this is what the message said. Esther, think not with thyself that you shall escape in the king's palace more than all the other Jews. For if you refuse, Esther, to go in and see the king, deliverance will come from another source. And who knows that at such a time as this, you have been called to be in the palace. Oh, I like the faith of this man, Mordecai. Once he let his light shine, oh, he meant business for God. He said to her, look, Esther, if you don't go, God will send another deliverer. He believed that. You see, Esther, she at first didn't take it in that she was going to die. She was the queen. Why should she die? Oh, but listen. Death was going to come on all the Jews. It didn't make any difference that she was the queen. Just like it doesn't make any difference about you, no matter who you are. The day is going to come and you'll all die. Because the Word of God says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But sometimes people don't take it in that they're going to die. Then they go into eternity. And so Esther, she thought about it. And as she thought about it, she wrote back to Mordecai. And this is what she said. What I want you to do, I want you to gather all the Jews together in Shushan. And I want you to have them fast for me for 3 days. And I will gather my maidens. And we too will fast, that means they won't eat, for 3 days. And then I will go in to see the king. And if I perish, or if I die, I die. Oh, you see, fellows and girls and men and women, Esther came to the point that she was willing to die to self, die to the flesh, and put it in God's hands. Oh, Esther asked for them to fast. Now, what they did when they fasted is they prayed. Prayer is not mentioned there in the book of Esther because God's name is not placed in Babylon. But that's what they did. They fasted and they prayed to God. As Esther and her maidens were praying and fasting, so we find outside with Mordecai, the people had gathered, all the Jews, to fast for her. She said, I will go. I will go, and whatever happens, God is in control. Oh, that we might come to that point in life and be willing to do what God wants us to do. Yes, Esther, she had committed herself to the Lord God. I like a verse that's found over in the book of Mark where it says, whosoever will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Oh, you see, we don't want to be ashamed. We want to live for God. Esther, she was willing to go. You know, there was someone greater than Esther who was willing to go and die for us. And we read about that in the Word of God. Wherefore Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. There you see was the place of the skull. And the Lord Jesus, yes, he went outside the gate to suffer, to shed his blood. Wherefore Jesus also suffered for us outside the gate. And it goes on to say, let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he is the shepherd that died for our sins there on the cross. And if you come to know him, you become one of his sheep. And the Word of God tells us this, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It was a joy for the Lord Jesus to go outside that gate and to die on the cross of Calvary, because he knew that there would be fellows and girls and men and women who would become his sheep, who would come to know him as Savior. Oh, tonight, I trust that you know what it is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And then if you do, that you will be obedient and follow him wherever he wants you to go. Tomorrow night, I'm going to continue the story and see what happens to Esther. We start at 7 o'clock. Bring your friends. You get 50 points for every person you bring that hasn't been here. If you've got any questions on the contest or on the story tonight or how to get to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and head bowed. Again, Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that it will fall on good ground and that someone will be convicted about their sin and receive Christ before it's too late. Bless us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for your attention. Lights are on, and you're dismissed.